What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
We didn't make that up. That was January 2nd here on 101 ESPN.
It got better.
It did. It's 3:05 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. That is actually pretty remarkable that we were able to dig that up.
It was very fitting.
Yeah, it was.
Big thanks to Mike Ryder for finding that.
Yeah, and they did go on a multiple three-game winning streak
when they won 11 in a row. Magical runs they had.
Yeah.
Like Ryder when he got back from Mexico. Right. Same.
Magical runs, yeah. That ain't going to happen. That's what I said. That ain't going to happen.
No. Hell no. It wasn't going to happen. Of course it wasn't going to happen. So maybe, just maybe, if it's not going to happen or if it wasn't going to happen, if we stop believing, maybe good things could happen.
Well, we aren't believing in the Cardinals, and we made sure of that yesterday.
Randy, you might have to remind me about the story, but I think I heard this one time you kind of wrote off a Cardinals team, and then they came back. Did they do really well after
that?
Yeah,
it was about this time of year, actually, in 2011.
2011, right.
Yeah, I said they had a 0% chance of making the playoffs, let alone winning the World Series. And then, obviously, they came back and performed at a really high level and won the World Series.
Now, there were some things that happened that haven't exactly happened with this team and probably can't happen with the 2019 edition.
A lot of that was due to the fact that they rebuilt their bullpen at the deadline. They did some things by trading Colby Rasmus and rebuilding their bullpen at the deadline. But I wasn't the only one either. The cool thing that I know now about that season is that Chris Carpenter had the team over to his house in Ladue and said, "Look, fellas, we aren't going anywhere. We aren't going to make the playoffs. But let's at least try hard and make sure that the fans are proud of us every night when we play. We aren't going to do anything, but the least we can do for them is play hard."
And lo and behold, they played hard. And that new-look bullpen that they rebuilt at the deadline wound up being great, and they won the 2011 World Series. The difference between that year and this year is that nothing happened at the deadline this year.
What do you mean?
Well, okay.
Adalberto Mejia, is he not a part of the mix right now? Is he not here?
He is not.
Not here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a transaction that happened. All right. Did anybody forget to look at the free agents right now? Because got two closers out on the market.
Hey,
Greg Holland.
Trevor Rosenthal.
Bing, bang, boom. Could be your guys.
Oh, the return to glory.
Right, both of them. Believe in. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. But
this has worked for a baseball team in the past.
And by the way, it has. I have not said 0% chance about this particular club yet.
Like they've been in the mix.
But I'm pretty darn close.
Well, don't let that do it to you, Randy. Just a bad stretch is all it is.
Five in a row against good teams.
Yeah, and what are the chances you face teams like that in the playoffs, you know?
Fortunately, Pittsburgh's in town this weekend. Then the Cardinals go on the road to Cincinnati. Cincinnati has won 10 of 15, and now they have a pretty decent pitching staff all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you've seen those guys. You know them.
Except for Trevor Bauer.
Ah, you're fine.
And Luis Castillo.
They figured those guys out somehow. I don't know,
Here
man.
We go.
You know what? It's frustrating. It's maddening. A team that was in first place at the trade deadline now finds themselves well behind. And Look, they haven't played up to expectations. They did nothing at the trade deadline, but they still find themselves in the mix. So while as maddening as it's been, there's nothing saying they can't go on another run. They end up right in the thick of things because, as we played right off the top, crazy stuff happens in sports, in these games. You referenced 2011 already, certainly the Blues. Who knows, man? Don't you guys like roller coasters? I mean, we've done the show from Six Flags. Randy, you and I did the one. Ronge was going to do it, but he had ripped his shorts already. Yeah. He didn't feel like standing up. What was that big, the big wooden roller coaster there? What's
the
that
Screaming
one called?
Eagle.
Yeah. That was fantastic. We loved it. And I loved it not because it just went up the whole time. That'd be really boring. Yeah, we were screaming like little kids, Randy. The ups, the downs, the turns. That's what makes a good ride, gentlemen.
And also knowing it's going to come to an end and you're going to be fine unless you've soiled yourself or something happens to the ride and there's an accident, you know, know that everything's going to end up okay. I think that's the fun of being on a roller coaster. You know everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's always fine.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's always fine in
the sports
season, too.
Tell the lady that fell off and died that.
Or the one that got her.
She was too big. Was
she too big?
Yeah,
is that here?
That was it. Yeah. What was the name of that? It was a stand-up one. Or you had to stand up with the harness on top of you.
Oh, those are cool.
This was
you're hanging
25
in the air?
Years ago.
Yeah, there was a similar one where a kid got his head kicked off by somebody because he went over the fence to get his hat.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'd like to think he got it.
Yeah. You don't need it now.
No.
Was it the Rail Blazer?
That sounds right.
And an Indiana woman fell to her death from the ride. Thoughts and prayers. And evidently, you are correct, she was... rather plump.
She was heavier.
Yeah.
And the ride wasn't made
isn't there
for her.
Supposed to be somebody screening stuff
and
like that?
Yes, and I think they got more militant about it after the fact.
Serious question, and not trying to be a rude one at all. So you know how they have the height requirement stuff, you know? Like, standing you have to be this tall to ride the ride. Should there not be a scale, too? Like, where you're on it, like,
I think
you're too big.
When you pull the harness down, it clicks into place.
Yeah, but what if you're putting constant pressure on the harness?
Like, I don't think it should not be able to open up.
BT, can you stop looking at me while you're talking about it?
I didn't look at you.
Nice. Stop.
I didn't even know you were in here. I mean, I kind of thought you were.
So I suppose...
it's hot behind me.
The question is, are the Cardinals the Screaming Eagle or the Railblazer?
Nobody's going to die. They're the Screaming Eagle.
You don't know that.
Well... yeah, but they're the Screaming Eagle is what they are. And that's a perfect example, right? Tried and true. That thing's been around forever. Does it look good on the outside? Not really.
Because
we're at
like
the top
gonna,
of it. I'm looking down. I'm like, whoa, that's one bad nail away from not looking so good. But it's perfect. It's in great shape. It's got character. It's probably won some championships. Maybe 11 of them. Who knows? I don't know. It's the Screaming Eagle is what the Cardinals are.
I hope so.
Either way, we should all go to Six Flags again. That was a blast.
Yeah, why?
It is fun.
We haven't been invited in a while.
Let's go there.
Do you think it's because we ruined their pavement? Like setting up our stuff? Our chairs sunk into the blacktop.
Well, they put us in a different spot the following year.
And we didn't do anything wrong.
I think you were out.
Yeah, I wasn't there for
you. You were doing Cardinals baseball.
I miss all the fun stuff.
I think we did ride a roller coaster, though. I think Big Sis and I, didn't we do the Screaming Eagle?
Yeah, we did the Screaming Eagle.
Yeah.
On that day?
Did you do the 4 o'clock fight in the roller coaster?
No,
we tried that.
We couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
They said you couldn't do it?
Yeah, I think they said we couldn't broadcast from the
Screaming Eagle. Yeah, because your stuff might fly off and hit somebody in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be bad.
But we don't want to hurt anybody. By the way, the Cardinals have subtly changed their interlocking STL logo, apparently.
That's what needed the fixing.
Some flaring and rounding about the edges and letters, but that's basically it. And
wonder why. Have they talked about that at all, or we
evidently
haven't seen people just? I mean, I've seen messages about it, but I haven't seen a statement about it.
Yeah, I saw something about it a few days ago. I couldn't really tell the difference based on what I saw, but
it's kind of like the Cleveland Browns color change a couple of years ago when they didn't change anything.
I love when teams do that.
It's pretty funny.
Well, maybe it'll fix things. By the way, if you're not going to trade for a starter. Just change your logo.
There you go. The Cardinals, by the way, will not drop a game today and fall to a 6-game losing streak.
How do you know? About Randy? Positive. Positive they're not playing.
How do you? Oh, because they're not playing.
They play.
By the way, somebody said let's see here. Oh, they're Tom's Twister, the Cardinals are, constantly spinning and making you puke.
That's the only thing at Six Flags that ever made me puke. And I don't think they have Tom's Twister anymore. That's the one where
I don't think so either.
You spun around and centrifugal force held you up, and then the floor fell out.
Okay. Guys, we got another text.
That one made me sweat.
I don't think it's funny at all. Go figure. The Cardinals have made the new logo softer, removing all the edge, just like the actual ball club.
That's not nice at all.
That's not okay. I'm not going to read stuff like that anymore.
I didn't realize that they had had that certain logo since 1964, the interlocking STL. But it does look different. Yeah, the T is different. The S, it is definitely softer.
Yeah, a little different.
The edge is, it's not as edgy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what the texter's saying.
Get another one, too, that says, it's obvious that BT is now an employee of said baseball team, hashtag Eternal Optimist. I don't know if you guys listened to me, I don't know, 5 years ago. Pretty much same guy. Pretty much same stuff.
Yeah.
Optimist.
That's how we roll.
Except for the Blues. Wasn't that optimistic? It's different when you wear the jersey, I guess.
In The Athletic, Mark Saxon explored the idea of bringing Marcelo Zuna back after this season. We'll break that down next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. You are salty. Talking about the Cardinals. Among Cardinal regulars, by the way, Marcelo Zuna leads that group in OPS at 834, leads the team in slugging percentage at 505, leads the team with, still leads the team with RBIs, even though he missed all those games. He's got 63 RBIs, 21 home runs. I don't see anybody else on this team that's capable, any other outfielder, I should say, that's capable of hitting 30 home runs like Marcelo Zuna is. Not on the team, 25-man roster, on the 40-man roster, or in the system.
Not that you at least have a track record that you think you know about. At the very least, Marcelo Zuna has that. Well, it's great to say, look, Tyler O'Neill, he's got big-time power, and he could be the heir apparent over there. Well, and not to say this guy can't take the position back, but look, Harrison Bader was supposed to be the heir apparent in center field, and you see where you're at right there with that one. I think it's a little bit dangerous to go into a season having a couple of those question marks. Now, it all comes down to dollars and cents. It comes down to how much money. Now, Marcelo Ozuna has said, he said it earlier in spring, and as you mentioned, Mark Saxon caught up with him in L.A. and said he wants to come back. He wants to be a part of things, and he wants to be in St. Louis. I don't know if it's going to happen. I do know this. Marcel has he's got a little swagger to him. He's got personality. He's got some excitement. And for all the stuff that has happened potentially off the field, him not coming in ready, him coming into spring overweight, when he's there, he's a gamer. Like, guy loves to play the game of baseball. I kind of like having those guys around, but I don't know how much money I want to spend on that guy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do think he's a net benefit, right? Because we're trying to figure out next year how many different question marks they're going to have. And it's a conversation that we've had before. Randy and I talked about it yesterday. I do not think you want to go into 2020 if you have the intent of winning and getting to the playoffs again. I do not think you want to go into that season with three different question marks in your outfield. All of it could work out perfectly fine, but I also don't think you want to go that route with the uncertainty. I think you want to get as much as you can. Exactly. You're going to have third base. You're going to have the entire outfield. You know what your middle infield's going to be, Paul Goldschmidt at first, and you're going to be fine at catcher, too. So, and really, I wouldn't worry about the catcher spot as much as everything else. So I don't think the Cardinals want to go into next season that way. And he does seem open to the idea, certainly. He's explicitly said he's open to the idea of coming back here. I would have to think, if I'm in his shoes and I have watched the last two off seasons unfold, and I have seen guys sitting there in February and March without jobs, free agents sitting there that late in the season, or maybe never signing at all, I'm probably thinking to myself, being on the right side of 30, hey, if I could find a deal that is going to get me locked up for a couple of years, give me a decent amount of money, even though it's less than I probably should get in a typical free agent season, I'm going to take it, because I don't want to be out there with no team calling me.
When you look at where the Cardinals are in terms of trying to replace that guy, too, at the very least, they should offer him a qualifying offer, because
certainly
we mentioned O'Neill. He is in his last dozen games, no home runs, and he's 9-for-53. He's hitting 170, and he had that one hot streak where he hit six home runs in five games, but otherwise he hasn't had a hot streak. with the Cardinals this year. So that would be a concern. And then
the lack of free agents this year is a concern to me, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just overall.
Yeah, how do you replace him? So I'm with you guys. I have no problem if the Cardinals go to him and the price is right. And I don't know what the right price is for Marcell Ozuna, but they do. That's their job. And you aren't going to find anybody else to protect Paul Goldschmidt. Well, so you might as well take care of it.
Yeah, and if you have to fill a need in free agency, if you're going to have to dip in those waters anyway, might as well take the guy that's already on the roster, somebody you know.
Unless they can get a guy that they believe they can just get on 1 year and overpay him. You know what I mean? And
I wonder that would be.
Yeah, I don't know either. So looking at the free agents right now for next year, Josh Donaldson is going to be a free agent. Who knows where he ends up being. But he's 34 years old already. J.D. Martinez, great name and all. Doesn't have a position, and he's got a player option. He might pick that up.
He should pick that up.
Yeah, he's making $23 million on the player option, chances are. Anthony Rendon, great name. I would be shocked if, in fact, Washington doesn't bring him back. Like, they need him badly.
Yeah.
I think that he'll be there. Outside of that, man, the names are underwhelming next year, and especially as you look at corner outfielders.
Yep.
I don't know who you want. I really don't. So I know that that doesn't mean anything. You'll always find somebody. By the way, you can always swing trades, but you're going to have to, if you're going to swing trades for an impact guy, you're going to have to part ways with some of the guys in your organization that you really, really like. And that's Nolan Gorman. It's those Dylan Carlson type guys. I don't know what they're willing to do, but they're going to need some help next year.
Yeah, and if you would have asked this question of us several months ago, we probably would have said, and in fact, I know I did say, yeah, I can see them wanting to just move on from him. And because of the
uncertainty. And I can still see it.
I still could see it, too. I think that's less of a certainty now because we've seen him actually produce and we've seen him come around. His arm looks to be a little bit better. Clearly, he was productive offensively, which is something they desperately needed this season. So maybe that's less of a question mark than it used to be. But also, we were kind of counting on Harrison Bader to be pretty good.
Yep.
And that didn't happen. So now here we are with an uncertainty in center field. And even with Dexter Fowler doing what he's doing, playing right field and center, he's not certain at all either. So I think they want to go into next year with a little bit more of that.
With this offense, the Cardinals need not only to bring back Ozuna, but they need to supplement what they have because they can't count on Matt Carpenter bouncing back. They can't count on DeJong becoming the consistent performer. You'd hope that he'd become the consistent performer that you were hoping that he was going to be this year. But he spent 2 months with like a 630 OPS where he hit 200 and then 230. That's what you have to expect until he becomes that consistent performer that you're hoping. You mentioned Dexter Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was fine in his first year, not so much in his second, fine in his third. What's he going to be in his fourth with the Cardinals when he's 34
and he's
years
older,
old?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm with you guys. I think the Cardinals need to go out and not only take care of what they have, but supplement what they have.
Well, it really depends on what you think 2020 is supposed to be. I don't think, and I don't think you can stress this enough, but I don't believe they go and get Paul Goldschmidt and then sign him to an extension if they don't really think they're going to try to win in 2020. There's no point of doing any of this.
Well, you're paying Molina. You're paying DeJong. Not that it's an outrageous contract, but you are paying him. You're obviously paying Matt Carpenter. You gave him an extension.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an expectation, I would think, in that front office with just that amount of money right there that they're spending that they plan to win in 2020.
I agree. But I do think that when you look at it, and money aside, and you have to see what you're seeing right now, at least up to this point, you've got to be questioning yourself a little bit looking towards next year. It's like, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to approach this? How are we going to get better and better? Because the window for a lot of these players, and Paul Goldschmidt is one that you're certainly looking at, the window's now for him, for that type of guy, and for a lot of these guys.
I think the big thing, though, is we can talk all we want about getting Ozuna under contract and bringing him back next year. But if I'm Gersh and Mozeliak, the big thing I'm focusing now on is those negotiations with Walker to make sure that he's part of your rotation.
I knew you were going to do something trolly there, Randy.
Randy.
I knew.
He makes a face.
That he was
He makes
going.
A face when something like that's coming. I know.
Yeah, there was something there.
Yeah, I knew it.
Are you guys saying that you don't want him back?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I'm not going to focus all my energy on it. I'm not going to put all my eggs in the Walker basket.
I don't think I'm putting any eggs in that basket. unless he wants to come back and pitch in the bullpen, seemed to be doing pretty well there for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like Michael Wacha. I just don't like what's been happening lately. It's the old, what is it that your parents say? I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Exactly. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Cardinals off tonight. Coming up on Saturday night, there will be a lot of flannel in Sojay. No, they aren't going to have a WNBA game here. The Gateway Grizzlies are going to be playing. It's home improvement night at the ballpark, and Richard Karn, a.k.a. Al Borland, will be in attendance. He joins us next on 101 ESPN. Saturday night is home improvement night with the Gateway Grizzlies, a full night of baseball, tool time, and local scouts troops. You can come cheer the Grizzlies as they battle against the Windy City Thunderbolts with special guest appearance by Richard Karn of Tool Time, who's with us now on 101 ESPN. Of course, from Home Improvement, Richard Karn with us on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Great to have you with us, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. How are you guys?
We are doing great, Richard. And now be honest here. When people meet you, how many times out of 10 do they say, "Hey, Al"?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, a lot, absolutely a lot. But when I started doing Family Feud, they went to Richard a lot more.
There you go. Now, right. And that is the thing, and I would think that starting off, and I don't know, Home Improvement was earlier in your career. Is that the holy grail, is getting a part of something, a sitcom that actually catches on like they did? I mean, in the 90s, that was one of the best sitcoms around.
I know. It's so odd. I grew up in a theater town. I grew up in Seattle. And so my first instinct was to move to New York because I thought theater is where it is for me and everything like that. So when I moved to New York, I spent 11 years there. That's where I met my wife. We got married, and then we moved to California in 90. And I wasn't quite sure about the television movie thing because I'm kind of a character-y face and all that, but it worked out. I mean, about just under a year and a half later, I got Home Improvement.
So, all right, I know this happens sometimes with people who've been on a very popular sitcom and they're known for a certain thing, like we were talking about earlier, being called Al a lot. Did you ever get to a point where you just embraced it? Because sometimes the actors who do those roles are like, okay, I've done other things. I'm not just Al. I've done a lot of other stuff. Did you ever feel that way, or did you embrace it?
Well, you know, kind of both. It's there is a sense that your breadth of roles that you've played over your career are varied and different and this and that. But, you know, then you get to the point where, you know, a lot of people watched Home Improvement. And by the way, I love the fact that you call it Tool Time instead of Home Improvement, because Tool Time really is my show. That's the one I think about. But you have to embrace it, because otherwise you're going to be mad all the time.
Richard Karn is with us. He's going to be at the Gateway Grizzlies game on Saturday night. I noted that when you moved to New York, you mentioned that move to New York, one of the first things you did was a Super Bowl ad for St. Louis-based Anheuser-Busch. You did a Michelob spot, right?
I absolutely did. That was my first week in New York. And Michelob beer, I'm telling you what, they paid my rent for 2 years. That's for sure. That's back when national commercials were really national commercials.
Richard, so with Home Improvement, certainly with it being Home Improvement Day at the Grizzlies ballpark, and by the way, we suggest everybody go out there, check it out. It's a great time for you, for the family, and certainly get a chance to meet you, Richard Karn.
Well, there's a meet and greet at like 5:45 to 6:30, and it's $30 a ticket.
See, now we're talking.
The game doesn't start till 7:05.
Now we're talking. Get out there, hang out with Richard, Al Borland. For you, how did Home Improvement even come about? Was it something that you you heard about and you said, oh, for sure, I got to be in on this? I mean, how did that start for you?
Wait, you're in the business. You know, you're in radio. You don't just say, hey, I think I should do this and then go do it. It just, there's a lot of things. I have to laugh about this because my dad, you know, up in Seattle, he's a builder. He's a contractor. So he just said, well, if you're moving to California, you should look up that Disney company because they seem to work with a lot of the same guys all the time. So you should look up into Disney. And all I could think of was, yeah, Dad, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Disney. And lo and behold, I ended up working with Disney.
And you didn't think So that's not exactly what you expected. This particular show and the role you had on that show, how did that happen? Because my understanding was that wasn't the part that you became wasn't the original intent?
No. And kind of like life. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of things that we intend to do that might happen, might not happen, but it never seems to go as smoothly as possible. But I knew the guys, Matt, David, and Carmen, the guys who created the show. I knew them from a playwrights conference in New Harmony, Indiana. I don't know if you've ever been to New Harmony.
Have you?
Down kind of like the southwest corner of Indiana. Well, that was like the mid-80s that I met those guys. So, you know, fast forward to 90, 91, when I find out about this audition, I'm kind of miffed because they didn't call me. So I call them. I go, hey, I understand that you guys are doing a show and you didn't call me. They go, well, you're never right. You are absolutely never right for anything unless, you know, you're Tom Cruise or Robert Redford or whatever. Then you're right. Then they make it right. But I wasn't right for this role. They had cast another guy, Stephen Topolowski. But they let me come in on audition to meet the casting director. So I go in there, I make them laugh with the scene, the audition, and then Carmen calls me and goes, Rick, it seems that Steven got a movie and he can't do the pilot, and we were thinking that maybe being a nice guy, that you wouldn't mind doing the pilot, and if the show gets picked up, we would bring him back in to do the show. And at that point, I was going, absolutely, I'm there for you guys, no problem. That doesn't bother me at all. So you're right. I mean, I got the role, but I didn't really get the role till a few months later.
It's funny you mentioned that you're never right for the role unless you're somebody like Tom Cruise, because my co-host here, Brad Thompson, hates the fact that Tom Cruise is Jack Reacher.
I hate it.
Because Jack Reacher...
I strongly disagree with that casting thing. But
it's awful.
You know, then you look at it, but he probably bought the property.
Yeah, I guess he did, didn't he?
You should buy more property.
Like Tom Hanks playing the Da Vinci Code. I didn't necessarily, you know, think that that's who that should have been, but... You know, certain guys can get things done, and then they're either good at it or they're not.
Ron, we got to buy property for stuff. That's what we got to do. We got to get in.
We
don't have that sort of capital. Richard,
yeah,
Richard, you want in on this?
We
all get together and buy some stuff, and then we'll cast ourselves?
Well, you know, you can go back to, like, Jacobean theater and just buy that. You don't even have to buy it. It's public domain. Just create something from, Aristotle.
We need your help.
That's, you know, modern.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need some help.
Yeah, we're going to need your help on this.
Richard, I want to move on to Family Feud in a second, because that's like an enormous deal. But I do want to ask you this, because it's been bothering me. Which one of the Taylor kids was the biggest pain in the ass?
You know, kids are kids, and none of them were a pain in the ass. I hadn't really worked around a lot of kids. I mean, the theater that I was doing up until that point didn't really have a lot of kids. So they were there, and they had their teacher, and they had to, you know, they had school incorporated into rehearsal and stuff like that. But they were never really, you know, a pain in the ass. It was kind of interesting to watch them grow up, you know, and watch and see how they dealt with the adulation and the, you know, as the show got more and more popular. And seeing how they deal with that can be a little crushing, especially if, you know, you're not the cute one or you're not the funny one or you're not, you know, how does your little fragile ego and id deal with that? And it was nice. They all had a good, strong support system, which helped. And Tim helped with that, too.
That's good. Who's easier to work with, kids or dogs? Because you've done plenty of work with dogs, too. Air Buds, Snow Buds.
Dogs, you just do a lot more takes.
Okay.
You just have to do a lot more takes for them to get it right. And, you know, and I worked with a monkey once, too.
What?
I did MVP, Most Valuable Primate, and that was hysterical. I hadn't even thought of the ramifications of, you know, a monkey going, getting mad or anything like that. And, you know, we had this scene where the monkey is supposed to be eating marshmallows, and he wasn't eating the marshmallows. And after about the seventh or eighth take, you know, I reached over to get a marshmallow, and the monkey like locked onto me. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see the trainer kind of like tense up. And I kept eye contact with this monkey, and I just took a bite out of the marshmallow.
Oh no!
And the monkey was like, oh, ooh. And he looks at the marshmallows. He looks at me. Then he takes a marshmallow, and he tries to feed me.
Marshmallow buddies.
That's the take we used, you know. And then later the trainer goes, you know, that's his food. He could have attacked you, but apparently you were the alpha monkey in the room, so he was cool.
Richard, that could have gone way worse for you. Because
it could have gone way worse, and I mean, I would have not had a clue why.
You've heard the 911 call of the lady getting ripped to shreds by a chimp, haven't you?
No.
Well, the chimp was on Xanax, though.
Oh, yeah, the chimp was on Xanax, maybe. Like, I don't know, was it Xanax and maybe some alcohol?
Yeah, but anyways, chimps are more dangerous than we thought.
Well, you know, they're living creatures, and you have to deal with how they live. So... It's our fault. We're the ones that are supposed to know better.
You are exactly right about that. Stop messing with animals. So how many people come up to you and say, would you please say, I don't think so, Tim, or whatever my name is, would you say that? I don't think so, John.
I know.
Does that happen all the time?
Today at lunch, a waiter came up to me, and he, you know, when people come up to you, you know they're going to say something. And he goes, I just want to say that you've affected our lives so much. I'm from Wisconsin. And my brother, who's a little mentally challenged, he communicates through quoting Home Improvement. You know, so if he's mad about something, he'll say, I don't think so, Tim. And
that's the best.
And I realized that this show really affects, you know, people because they grew up and all of their fond memories are them sitting around watching the show with their family. And so the I don't think so, Tim, just kind of resonated with a lot of people.
Isn't it amazing when you look over the course of your co-star Tim Allen's career, he's been branded as three or four guys. He had the Home Improvement role. He's been Santa Claus. He's been Buzz Lightyear. He's in a lot of stuff.
He did. He did. And he was in a position to, you know, wield that power. And you know, I wish I had concentrated on doing that a little bit more. But my son, Cooper, was born the first season of Home Improvement. And so it was like all my energy was going into the show and into, you know, Cooper. And I was kind of bouncing back and forth and not wanting to do a lot of, not extracurricular, but, you know, looking to do other things that would take me away from home.
Richard, it's been great to have you with us. We're looking forward to Saturday night at the Gateway Grizzlies game. It's Home Improvement Night, and people can learn more by going to gatewaygrizzlies.com or call 618-337-3000. And don't forget that meet and greet before the game, 7 o'clock game, and the meet and greet beforehand for $30.
Yeah,
with,
come on out. This is going to be great.
Yeah, it should be fantastic. We're looking forward to having you here in the area.
I appreciate it. I was across state over in Kansas City during the winter doing a play in Overland Park.
Hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a three-hour drive.
Hey, I love it, dude.
Richard, before you go, everybody always disagrees with me here, so could you please say, I don't think so, Chris?
Well, why do they disagree with you?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm always right.
I don't think so, Chris.
Thank you.
That's all we needed.
That's all I needed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right.
See you later. Richard Karn is going to be at the Gateway Grizzlies game on Saturday night. Learn more at gatewaygrizzlies.com. The Cardinals can't lose tonight. We've got that and more next in your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. The Cardinals are off today. They'll take on the Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow night at the ballpark. It's the opener of a three-game series and just a three-game homestand. And the Cardinals will pitch Dakota Hudson against Chris Archer. So that means the Cardinals cannot, under any circumstances, extend their five-game losing streak tonight.
That's good.
Yay.
Hey, it's time to get back on the horse. That test that we talked about, you know, that one that faced a lot of really good teams when it was 11 games. They won three out of those. They failed the test. It was Astros, Cubs, A's, Dodgers. They 3-8, not going to do it. But got to get back to work. And the starting pitching the last couple of days has been very good. Unfortunately, the Cardinals have had nothing offensively, really, to speak of. Got to change that. Got to change it over the weekend. Got to change it in Cincinnati and Kansas City first, then Cincinnati. I get stuff rolling here. I love roller coasters, guys. We had this segment already on coasters. Let's do that. I'm tired of the down part right now. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back up.
I just hope the harness stays on.
Me too.
Otherwise, somebody's in
trouble.
I don't
recall anybody checking it at the beginning either.
Yeah.
Does this one do a loop-de-loop? Because the loop-de-loops are the ones that scare you with the harnesses. If it flips over, that's when you're in some real trouble.
Well, no, the problem with the loop-de-loop is if it gets stuck at the top.
Has that happened?
And, oh, yeah.
Really? Upside down?
Oh, yeah.
Upside down. That's happened.
Because as it's moving, you know, it's moving quickly, the centrifugal force will keep you on the thing, right?
It's centrifugal farce.
But if, I'm sorry, you're right. It is centrifugal farce. Mm-hmm. But if it stops at the top, you're just hanging upside down. That has happened before.
It's not good.
No, it's terrible.
Right now, speaking of not very good, and it's not terrible, but the Nationals lead the NL wildcard race. The Phils and Brewers are tied for the second spot. Cardinals and Mets tied for the third spot a half game back.
WTF, Randy. Where did the Mets come
unbelievable.
From?
Unbelievable.
Why the face? That's still what that is, right?
Yeah, that is.
They is it 13 of 14? Something silly that they've done here. And I was among the many people saying, basically, Brody Van Wagenen, what the hell are you doing? You're acquiring another starting pitcher. You're going after Marcus Stroman right now when you probably should be loading up with guys. When you have Syndergaard, who you could get a lot for, Wheeler, you could have got something for. Well, apparently, at least right now as we sit today, more of a genius than an idiot is Brody Van Wagenen. Now, the last big trade that he made hasn't worked out so well. Cano's on the DL. Yep. Diaz has had a bad year, but man, made a push. I got to appreciate the aggressive nature that he took and has taken so far.
I still don't think I believe in the Mets.
I don't either.
But they are a their run differential is better than the Cardinals is right now. They're plus 13. Cards are plus 8. But the thing is, I don't really believe in most of the teams in the National League, with the exception of the Dodgers and the Braves, and I think the Nationals, really. Phillies to an extent, but the Cubs. There's a ton of mediocrity in the National League this year.
The Cubs are at Cincinnati tonight, and they'll send Cole Hamels to the mound against Alec Wood in the opener of a three-game series. Actually, that'll be a four-game series in Cincy. So
let's go Reds.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got a rooting interest tonight, everybody.
Yeah. And you guys are excited about the closers that are on the market now.
Oh, I mean, there's arms available that have got big outs in the past.
Right?
And like one of them for the Cardinals. Got the big outs. Both played for them. But yeah, one of them got big outs for you. Trevor Rosenthal.
He's available.
Got big outs.
Got DFA'd.
What about the other one?
And Greg Holland.
See?
Has got big outs for other ball clubs, too. So both guys
available. Why is he available?
He struggled a little bit recently.
Well, just see you. Put him on the Cardinals organization. They'll fix him.
At least you're not going to overpay him this time.
Did you ever want to beat up your manager?
No, I don't recall ever having a feeling like that.
Chris Davis wanted to beat up Brandon Hyde, his manager.
He was going
to
kill him.
I think he was.
Had a couple of different Orioles that had to hold that man back.
That was
That's
awesome.
A big fella coming at you, too, coming in hot.
Yeah.
Things aren't going so great in Baltimore, are they?
No. I'd like to know what Brandon Hyde said to set him off, because they were clearly heated, and then Hyde said one thing and Davis just flipped out.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what that one thing was.
I bet it was probably about swinging and missing or something.
Stop sucking.
What are you going to do? Hit me? Good luck. It'll be the first thing you hit. Yeah, freaks out.
Yeah. It was last night. He was actually pinch hitting Jace Peterson for Davis. That probably set Davis off a bit too.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe if you get a hit.
At least Davis. It was an awful beginning. It's been an awful year. It's been forgettable. It's been a miserable contract. But if you're Chris Davis at this point, and I do realize that every single person has professional pride, and he's been on top of the world before, but he's making so much money.
Yes, he is.
For the foreseeable future, too, because his contract is crazy. Yeah. I mean, he's got deferred money out the wazoo. So he's doing okay for himself. Lay back. Take a chill pill. You're playing for the Orioles right now. Just cash your checks.
Yep. A couple of days ago, former Rams defensive end Robert Quinn broke his hand, and the Cowboys, who now have Robert Quinn, said he'll be out for the rest of the preseason. Now he's going to be out until at least the third week of the regular season because he tested positive for a PED, and he, Robert Quinn, has been suspended for a pair of games.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Mm.
Yeah. Do we know what the PED was?
No, not yet, but we will.
Yeah, like it matters. There is football. Nobody cares. Nobody cares in football. Baseball, that guy's got a black eye forever, and he's always the PED guy. So it was Beckham recently, right, who got suspended 80 games. Like now it's like, PEDs. Everything about you is PEDs. Football's like, he's going to miss a few games. is what it is. He'll be back.
Do you know the way I feel about PEDs in baseball? Generally, I don't care. I only like it when it's convenient for me that I can crap on your player, on your team, because your guy got clipped for PEDs. Yeah. But generally, I don't really care.
That's how I feel about Ryan Braun overall.
Yeah.
Just because he hit a home run off of me. I'm like, cheater.
Well, I just say I like to put that on him just because he's a huge jerk.
Yeah, why? Because he tried to throw somebody under the bus?
Yeah, he said he was an anti-Semite.
I think he got the guy fired, didn't he, for a minute?
I don't know if he got him fired.
Let's just say he did. It works with our story.
Yeah, it does.
A little bit better. Allegedly.
Quinn's agent, Sean Kiernan, said, Rob has a medical history with seizures that requires him to take multiple doses of preventative medication daily to regulate them. He was tested on April 2nd under the NFL steroid policy. He failed the test for a substance called probenecid, which is classified as a masking agent under the policy. He does not take any supplements and took nothing else during this period that would create a positive test for probenecid. In fact, he had no idea what probenecid was or what it was even used for. So that's kind of, I had no idea what it was and no idea what it's for. I think that goes into the
Word documents?
Template. Yeah,
yeah, they're on there already. If you want to make an apology or you screw up mightily at work, Word documents have you covered there with the templates. But if he's been taking this seizure medicine for a long time, why would he even bring that up? Like, why would that be a thing that would
pop
and test positive?
Yeah.
By the way, you do have to pay more for the apology templates on Microsoft
Word.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to come with your computer.
Correct. Yep.
But, I mean, if you're in a position where you have to write an apology, like if your job is that important, surely you're making enough money to pony up the extra
Absolutely.
Cash for those templates.
And then Kiernan, the agent, said, I really don't appreciate your tactics to the NFL. So, poor Rob Quinn.
I don't understand your tactics right now, so I'm going to keep acting mad until I figure them out.
So there you go. Those are your hot topics of the day.
Okay, can I add one more in? Is the game that's going to be played at the Field of Dreams next year. I am super excited about that. Next year, Yankees, White Sox, Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, can we have a catch?
Iowa.
And I feel like after the game, they have to exit through the corn, right? That, like, has
to
happen.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then just literally disappear.
I'm melting. Like, you got to do it up.
So have you seen the renderings for it? So they got
the
regular one.
It.
And there's, like, a walkway through the cornfield to get to the Major League Stadium. That's really cool. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. So the family that bought it was a couple, and they bought it, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years ago. The idea was they were going to – it was in financial trouble. So it was
about
to get.
I saw that part of the movie. They were going to foreclose, Ray.
No, it happened in real life.
Sign the papers, Ray.
It actually happened in real life that way. They were in some trouble. And so this family bought it. Their idea was to make a youth sports complex out there because there's not a whole lot of that in the Midwest.
Pretty much going right to the movie.
Didn't work out, but they're going to have a baseball game
there. That's good.
Yeah.
Golly. Did Moonlight Graham save that young girl when she choked on the hot dog again?
I don't think so.
Poor girl.
No. Yeah.
I wonder what that girl's doing now.
Where did all these baseball
players
come from?
She choked on the hot dog, Ronj.
No, she got better.
He saved her.
Remember, he sacrificed his career to step over the line
and
save her.
Because
that was his real calling.
Yeah.
Those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we've got a new fighter in the 4 o'clock fight on 101 ESPN.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.